Hi, everybody. This is Michelle, and this is our Abundance Half a Day Retreat. Abundance is the first call through the year in what we call our Allow series. Allow is an acronym. The A stands for abundance, and people toss that word around. You could Google it, but what does it actually mean to live like that? Our editor is scarcity embodied, a voice inside that takes us out, that says we're not enough, that says the world is not enough, and so on. And it pops up in sneaky ways. So we might know the word, maybe we've Googled it, maybe we've studied it. What is it to actually live it in a deep and embodied way? That's what we're gonna get into this afternoon. And I was up late last night, hours diving into this. I've taught this material over a dozen years, but it's a new level of understanding it. So I was diving in with you and for you last night for this next level of understanding and actually living this material. So let's begin, as we always do in Shavasana, to find that grounded place. As usual, I suggest camera off for this part, just so you can really deeply go inside, and camera on for the other parts of the call as much as possible. So find that quiet place in your home or your work or wherever you are, where you will be undisturbed. So close the door, have distractions away from you, so that you really get a chance to go inward. If you are in a place where you need to be seated for meditation, that's okay, but always preferable to lie in Shavasana, as I suggest you do at the beginning of each and every day. It changes our day, it changes our world. And when we do it together here at the beginning of each call, there's an accumulation of what happens to us through the year. It's a practice. And with each practice, when we paid attention, our lives change through this. So lying down in a comfortable position, let there be support beneath your head and neck as needed, so that the chin is lower than, or at least level with the forehead. That lets the mind become quiet. Take support beneath your body wherever you need it. So beneath the upper legs, if needed, it could be a rolled blanket or a bolster so that the low back can relax. You could place your calves up on a chair or up on a bed or a couch. Again, that helps the low back relax. Or you could just stretch your legs out in front of you and a comfortable distance apart. Let the baby toes drop to the floor. The rest of the toes follow. The legs are relaxed and released. Then bend your elbows for a moment. Dig your elbows into the floor to lift and open the heart center. Really open it any amount. Shoulders are back and down. Release the arms into a low V, palms up position. And when you do so, notice if you're paying attention, if you've got support beneath the head and neck, you might have a little gap at the base of your neck now. So without disturbing that configuration of the chest, you can use your hands to gently tuck that rolled or that folded blanket or pillow beneath your head. Make sure that it touches the shoulders but doesn't go beneath them. These tiny details will shift how deeply you go into Shavasana, how much it rejuvenates your day, how grounded you feel. Pay attention to the details and take good care of yourself. Then softly close your eyes and make any adjustments you need to be aligned and to be comfortable. So for me, I'm seated and there was a little footstool that my foot was bumping into. So I'm changing my position so I'm not bumping into stuff. And please do the same. Give yourself space. Adjust whatever you need. And then once you feel comfortable, take comfort and find stillness. Know that this is your perfect Shavasana today, just as it is. And find the spot where there's tension in your body. Do you know where it is today? Is it your jaw, your throat, your shoulders, the back of your scalp? Your low back, calves, I don't know. Check in and see. Where are you holding tension? Probably without knowing it until this moment. Notice. Then breathe into that spot and let that tension go. Without a sense of urgency, without a sense of needing to get somewhere, find that next spot of tension, breathe into it, and let it go as well. And then let your focus rest on the breath. You can choose one point, one place of focus for this, the rising and falling of the chest or the belly. Could be the feel of the air coming into your nostrils and out. Choose one point of focus and become aware of the breath there. Notice the rhythm of the breath. Notice what it feels like at the end of the breath as you exhale. Are you rushing to breathe in again, or is there ease at that point of stillness at the end of the breath? Just notice. If any thoughts arise, as thoughts will, gently without judgment, let them go. And return to the breath. And then, knowing soon you'll be coming out of Shavasana, it just begins with a thought that soon you will move, separating out thought and reaction, just a thought, nothing you need to do about it. Soon you will move. And then allow the breath to deepen. Start to move in any way that feels good to you. Slowly, slowly bend your knees and roll onto your right side. Support your head with your upper arm and wait. Softly open your eyes, gaze toward the floor. And when you're ready, use your hands to press yourself up to sitting. Keep the head and neck heavy, the chest light. And return to our virtual circle. And now for the rest of our call, camera on whenever possible. It trains that one-pointed attention. If we did nothing of value all year long, but you trained that one-pointed attention on each and every call, whether you loved it, hated it, felt it was good, felt it was bad, whatever judgment there might be about it, that focused training of attention itself would change your year and change your life. Welcome, Arnie, Yvonne, nice to see you guys popping back. Hi, Heidi. All right, let's hear from one or two of you. As always, there might be things that distract us, things we don't like. Our world is filled with a mixed jumble of things. But our lives unfold by what we pay attention to. That's the story we create, and our stories create our world, create our lives. Here we train again to pay attention to what we love, what we focus on expands. What did you love in your practice of Shavasana today? Who would like to begin? Marnie and then Yvonne, thanks.
Before this, I had been, you know, reading the news and looking at some of the things, and anybody who's Canadian and probably American knows that there's been lots going on. And so this gave me a chance to focus on where I am and what I'm prepared to do, and to realize how much tension I was holding in my body unconsciously.
Thank you for saying that. You know, when I used to teach, when I first started teaching university, and I was close to my daughter's age now, I was 25 when I started teaching university, and I felt it was my duty to keep up on every little bit of the news. So I would watch incessantly, and I started noticing in my body that the more I watched, the worse I felt, the more disabled I felt, the more I couldn't do my work on the planet because I couldn't stay focused. So it's up to you to decide how informed you want to be, how little informed. And it's so interesting. There are certain voices that rise to the surface that we think is the news, like CNN, constantly negative news, right? And there's all kinds of other things going on the planet. Sometimes I like to search the news under good news, and they're reporting completely different things. Many things are happening on the planet. And so, and we take on, Marnie, it's such a great example. We take on other people's stories. The news, that's someone else's story, and the way they've crafted it into story as well. And we carry that right in our bodies. Great notice. And the break of Shavasana allows us to notice and release. How much energy do we stop leaking then? How much more energy do we have for our lives, for our purpose, for the people we serve, for the joy of life? Great notice. That's one of the many reasons I suggest that you start every day with Shavasana. It's like a reset every day, wherever we have been the day before, wherever we were with dreams, good dreams, bad dreams, however we wake up, we stop waking up on the wrong side of the bed, so to speak, because we wake up, we breathe, we're here. Thank you, Marnie. Great, great reminder. And we've never connected Shavasana and the news before. I've been starting out with Shavasana at the beginning of our calls now for, I don't know, is it 3 years now? I lost track. The community has been in place since 2010. And we went for many years. And I'm like, what am I doing? Why don't we start here? I think that's the first time we've had that direct connection with news, holding stories in our body, how that impedes our own lives and companies and the course correction that we can do with a couple of minutes of breathing. Beautiful notice. Thank you, Marnie. Yvonne, what did you love in your practice today?
It was just nice to pause. Mm-hmm. Beautiful morning, and it was just nice to kind of leave that all behind and kind of start fresh.
So important to pause, and we'll come back to that later in the class. We'll see. It's so important that we do so. All right. Beautiful. Anything else wanting to be shared? Anything else? Heidi, there it is. I just had the feeling. Go ahead.
I'm laughing because it was a very unusual experience that I didn't expect. I suddenly felt surrounded by animals, and right in front of me, like nuzzling me, was, I think, a giraffe. And I was like, what are you doing here? and it's so funny because I guys laugh to myself at it because I'm so from a city, grew up in a city, live in a city. I'm always in cities. And for me to be anywhere near, you know, is it to go near trees is an effort and a trip, and I have to go, and much less an animal, much less a giraffe. And so the giraffe came to me. So it was like, hi. I'm happy to see you. And what are you doing here?
Heidi, I love that. And thank you for being truthful enough and vulnerable enough to share that. You know, like all kinds of stuff happens in our lives, all kinds of stuff when we pay attention. And giraffe, you know, years ago, I was on a kind of, I did this vision kind of it's like a shamanic journey with an amazing healer in a group that I was facilitating. But I had given over the facilitation to this healer. And one of the images that came to me in this profound, I think of it as a story journey, it's a giraffe. And here's what she shared with me. Giraffes, I mean, they see everything. They are far above. They have this long neck, and they have a vision that no one else sees. It's like an 8,000 foot view. So there's something I think powerful and beautiful for you there, Heidi. Like, what is it that you're seeing at an 8,000 foot view? And it's really fun if, you know, animals come to us in our dreams or in our shavasana or whatever it is. Look it up. It's not my area of expertise, but I've worked with people whose area it is. Fascinating. Animals are wise. They bring power and meaning to our lives. And it's, what meaning do you choose for that to be too? And when I used to teach, you know, yoga on a beach in Mexico years ago, and for many, many years, one retreat center I taught at, they had dogs. And the dogs would come and just be with us while we were practicing. Animals feel positive energy, you know? So whatever this was for you. Yes, Diane, thank you. Spirit animal book, symbol, joyful playfulness, whatever it was. Thank you for sharing it with us. Many, many things happen in Shavasana. What if you spent a couple minutes at the beginning of your day doing this every day? How might that change your playfulness, your outlook on life, your idea of what might be possible for you, your releasing of tension in other people's stories, your having that moment to pause? I hope this is incentive for you, a reminder, inspiration to start your day in that way. It's profoundly life-changing. I've done so most days, and with the breath work that gets built on this since summer of 2006, I've missed a handful of days, not very many. Many, many practices have been given to me. Here's some that I keep, and here's one of them, because it changes everything, changes our stories, changes our lives. Thank you, Heidi. Beautiful. Anything else wanting to be shared, bubbling up? Marnie says, guidance and leadership, symbol of trailblazer or pioneer. I love that. So further investigation. And before we all go down that rabbit hole too, it's like, back here, and look after. Stay with me, right? I love it. Thank you. All right. Announcements. Let me go and see. It's now Emily who's creating announcements for us. And it's so good. When it used to be me, they were not nearly as accurate. So rev up your opt-in page. We have this bonus half-day virtual retreat coming up this Thursday, same time as today, 12:30 till 4. And this is going to be fabulous for you. You've got your free gift, or you're creating one. Everyone needs a free gift, whatever your feel is, wherever you are in your business, a free gift, something you can give to people. It's like, oh, here's the top five questions everybody asks me in this industry. Here, do you want this? This will help you, right? A way to start relationships. So, and then your opt-in page is, well, where do you put that so that people can go click, I'll take that. And what do you even say on that page? And what you say on that page, which is a companion piece to what you put in that gift that we did, a couple months ago, is huge, because that's what we're saying when we meet people. So, and as we're just in the process of the game and the high ticket virtual retreat, what you decide to put on there is going to help you with all those conversations with people who can actually enter in to your work. So rev up your opt-in page on Thursday. The game is on. We have a bonus Q&A call Tuesday, March 1st, 12:30 till 2. And bring your questions. How is it going? The game is on. And we also have a pre-call coming up, Story for Stories That Sell Now, Tuesday, March 15th from 12 till 1. And the game bonus Q&A call Tuesday from 1 till 2. So those are for different purposes, to different ends. Questions about our stories and our personal story, then questions about the game, being in conversations with people who could take the leap with us and our work. We will have an updated Love Your Words calendar down the way, just so you know we're working on that for you. The game, just a reminder, it started February 17th. It runs through March 17th. Enrollment in the game is due, oh goodness, by late last night, right? So if you have not entered the game yet, reach out to Amy right away. And Yvonne, will you put that order form for the game in the chat anyway, because I hope that link is still up, even though the deadline was last night. Please try to get it in under the wire if you haven't yet enrolled. And just notice if you didn't, like, where else are you taking yourself out of the game, so to speak, right? So hope you're all in. Monthly Masterminds, hosted by Yvonne and Marie. Just a reminder, the next one is Wednesday, March the 9th at 2 p.m. Make sure you check for your survey. It'll be sent out soon. You fill out the survey to be able to get the Zoom link to come to that call. It's our way of incentivizing you to do things that we know will help you. Right? And let me see, just a reminder, there's 30-minute calls you can book with Marie once a month. And Yvonne, if you haven't yet already, if you can put that in the chat for people. So please do take advantage of that. Marie has changed my life, as has Yvonne. The people we have on our team here to serve and support you. When I have glitches in my story, they're the ones that I turn to. They are amazing, both Yvonne and Marie. And you don't want to miss the opportunity to connect with them and take a deeper step on your journey. Just a reminder for asking questions, look for the thread in the Facebook group. The deadline to post is the day before. And we'll do our best to include last minute questions when we can. Questions are a great thing to do. It uplifts everybody in the community. And when you try to figure out your question, you might reject 9 of the questions. Like, oh, I know the answer to that. Like Mary Kay last week, wait, Michelle, you don't have to answer that. I know what the answer is by posting it. And that was going to be my answer to her. You can go and check and see in the Facebook group what her question was. She answered her own question. Sometimes you'll answer them. Sometimes you'll know, oh, wait, that's not what I should be focusing on. And by the time you get to your question, you've already advanced your work and your life so much further. So just want to encourage you to keep asking your questions. And it doesn't have to be on the material that we're working on right at that time. It doesn't have to be about your company, something going on in a conversation with somebody that's nagging and pulling energy over here. It could be about Marnie and the news. Like, which news should I be watching? And, you know, how can I use that to fuel my business instead of it going in the other direction? Maybe that's her most important question, to fuel her business. I don't know. So no questions that are out of bounds. All questions welcome. All right. Any questions about that? All clear about what's coming up for you? Lots to support you coming up. And I hope you're still in process with the action of the high ticket virtual retreat, the action of going networking, the actions from practical applications, being in situations where you can give a talk, all those pieces that we've already been doing. And it's not once and done. Wherever you are in that process, just keep moving it forward. And especially the high ticket virtual retreat, go directly there. Here's a person, I could help them now. Here's my offer. I know what it is from the high ticket virtual retreat. Let me go do that. So, and how you live this month will determine a lot of how the rest of the year goes. Does that make sense? Watch how you're playing. I'm all in. I'm going to serve and support each other. I'm going to create that even though I'm scared, or this is too hard. I think I'll hang back and watch. I'll do it next month. Then that's the way the rest of the year goes. Make sense? Watch how you're playing the game. We call it a game for multiple reasons, right? And also, it's a game. If I'm not having fun, I'm not doing it right. If it doesn't feel good to you, ask about that. How do I let it be more fun? It feels heavy. It feels hard. It feels weird. It feels whatever it is. All questions always welcome. All right. Anything bubbling up wanting to be said before we dive in further and start jumping into with abundance? Link is still live. Oh, wow. So if you haven't registered yet, it was due last night, but please sneak it in anyway, right? Please join the game. I hope you will. I mean, it's your choice, obviously, but once you're in, you're in. All right. I have two places to begin today, and I just need a second to decide. Yeah, I had to decide whether I'm going to start with a question for you or start with a song, and I'm going to start with a song. So I think here's how we're going to do it. I'm just going to break you up into groups, but I think what I'll do instead, let me just go find it. I've been listening to it, but I forgot to go and grab it so that I can share it with you. Give me 1 second. And then I'll just share it with you. I can find it here quickly. There it is. Okay, hang tight.
Make sure to share sound.
Oh yeah, hang on. So Yes, for Urim Shirsan. Thank you for that. All right. I'm also going to put the link. Actually, do you need the link? You don't need the link in the chat. But if you're listening to this later, because you won't be able to see that chat, it's what I'm going to show you. It's by, so you can go and look it up later and pause and watch this. So we're just going to pause the recording for a little bit and just watch this together. It's by Sam Garrett and it's called Upasana, right? And all I want you to do, just enjoy it. I've been listening to this over and over and over again. We're in abundance. What does this have to do with abundance? All right, so let me pause the recording just. Okay. That's the first time I've shared that song, but I've been listening to it over and over for, I don't know, maybe the last week or so. Oh goodness, hang on. YouTube is telling me more things, hang on. Here we go. YouTube wanted to keep going. All right. This is our abundance half day retreat. There's no right or wrong answers. What did you see? What did you hear? What did you love in what this, what I think is just a beautiful, beautiful song? What'd you notice? Yeah, Yvonne.
I love the opening, one of the opening lines. What are you waiting for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We wait and we wait as though it's some other time. What about right here? Right now. Thank you. What else? Yeah, Diane.
I like the words, we dance inside the storm, because mm-hmm. it's our mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if there's things going on around us, we can still have gratitude. We can still be happy. We can still control our emotions or be peaceful and calm in it.
It's not what's swirling around outside of us. It's our mindset. It's the stories inside. It's what's going on inside. And I've always loved that phrase, the eye of the storm. So there's a storm whirling about and at the center, it's calm. And I love this new image. I don't remember hearing that before anywhere as powerfully as here. Dance inside the storm. Not even just stillness, but there's a dance going on in the midst of all this happening. Beautiful. Thank you, Diane. What else did you notice? Yeah, Heidi.
I was listening. I kept losing the pronouns. So I'm thinking, you know, I heard, I think you are kind, you are warm. And then I thought, wait, and I found his voice was so soothing. I was losing myself in it. And I thought, like, the thought crossed my mind. Did he say, she is calm, she is kind? Or was it, I am calm, I am kind? And I thought, oh, it doesn't matter.
I love this, that you noticed that and then also let it go. But the pronouns, and I've listened to this song many, many times now over the last week. That's what I was in a private session this morning. I had about 3/4 of an hour to, you know, have my lunch and just reflect. And I listened to it just on a loop over and over and over again, you know, and I'm listening to it a lot this week. And I'd listened to it many times before I heard this. I looked up the lyrics just yesterday, but I hadn't looked at the lyrics. And now I know, but I didn't know this in the first, I don't know, dozen times that I listened to it at least or more. The lyrics go, you know, you are strong, you are wise, you are patient, you are kind. And then later on, he returns to it. It's like, I am strong, I am wise, I am patient, I am kind. And I think, I love that your attention was drawn there, because I see it in the outside world and I see you. And I see you in your depth of beauty and joy. This could connect to some of the other steps in our Allow series. I tie it with abundance today, but it fits in with all of them, to be honest. I love this song. I see it in you. Well, first there's a storm raging around, like Diane said, but it doesn't matter. But I dance inside the storm. And then I see it in you. I see your beauty. I see your amazingness. Then I see my own. Then I see my own. How beautiful is that? And I love too, it's you and it's I and it's we. That's the feeling of the song too. It's not a logical linear, it's that therefore that. It's more like that's what is. That's how I experience the song anyway. Nice notice. Thank you, Heidi. Anything else bubbling up wanting to be said about this song? Yeah, Yvonne.
When he sang, don't tell me you're just here to die. That hit me right between the eyeballs.
Yeah. I've got chills. Chills. I was working privately recently with a client, and it was the door number one, door number two scenario. Door number one, actually being on purpose in life. Door number two, it's like whatever and letting it drift kind of thing. And she got into a place where she couldn't remember which one it was. And then I just after a few words, it's like, right, it's door number one that I want. And for me and for her, when she remembered, it's like door number two, I'd rather die, really, you know, to live a life waiting to die, or to live a life unlived, to live a life not on purpose, to live a life kind of drifting. And then I corrected myself in talking about that. I'm like, no, that feels like a living death already. Are you just here to die? Or is there something broader? Is there something more important? Like to know the fullness of that. Thank you. Ooh. Anything else bubbling up? Such a powerful song. And I just want to add one more thing. And again, only on the 15th time that I saw it or something like that. Sometimes I'm just listening. Sometimes I watched it. But just the... the group itself, like you could hear a pin drop in that room, connectedness, alignment, knowingness. And I didn't know what the word upasana meant until yesterday, last night, or this morning, maybe it was. It wasn't about that, but I understand now, although that wasn't what attracted me to the song. I knew I could feel it at this resonant level, but it means like, you know, worship or something larger or something bigger than, right? I guess it's a, you know, Hindu word. I'm not Hindu, right? But it's being connected to something larger, worship, deity, something bigger than ourselves, right? And so I could feel it anyway when you're just watching this group. And from the perspective of the Abundance Half Day Retreat, it's a moment of sheer abundance, isn't it? Like it's in the moment. It's real. It's connected. It's that moment of knowingness. It's that there's a fullness here that let's live life. Are we just here to die? No, you know, and dance inside the storm and the knowingness. I'm strong and you are too, wise and patient and kind. Then go Google abundance. I haven't done that recently. I don't know what you'd get. You'd probably get a bunch of answers, but I don't know that you'd get anything better than what we just saw. Yvonne.
Yeah, there was another one in there that stood out for me was the door, the knock on the door and opening the door from within.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for noticing. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's where it comes from. Great. There was another hand up, wasn't there? Heidi, yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned the audience, Michelle. Because I found myself sometimes as he was singing, looking at them and noticing how young they all seemed, even though they weren't all young, but they seemed very young and youthful. And they were part of it. It wasn't just singer and audience. They were really with him and he was, it was like a loving, you know, lovers interacting with each other. He was offering his song and everyone was receiving the beautiful music and he was smiling and he was just, his whole heart was there with it and they were totally there for him and getting, you know, it felt like a very loving exchange. It wasn't this cold theater audience, you know, 100 feet away. It was like they were just right there.
I love that, the audience part and the youthfulness, but not all, they're not all 20 in there, but the spark of life force energy. And I'm sure that I've always for many years shown a different, very different kind of song at the beginning of the Abundance series, but this is what's in my heart now. I know it's after the death of my parents, I'm sure. It's also after coming back from a week-long yoga retreat. And there were so many, they weren't all young people, but so many young people there, young at heart. And I've spent good portions of my life in places that feel like this. These are my roots, you know, whether you've ever been in a place like this or not before, this feels like a piece of not where I come from. My family's nothing like that. You know, like beautiful, but very different, Yvonne, right? You know, like nothing like that. It's just weird, quirky me, you know. But as I connected with these yoga teachers at the yoga retreat I was at, one of them had just said, you know, oh, I just left 3 years in India. And then I just thought I should move. So now a year and 3 months ago, I just moved to Puerto Vallarta. And just like the ease and the joyfulness and the alignment and the connectedness in that audience and the knowingness, the fullness of that moment. It, like, did you see anybody else, anybody going like, okay, well, I've got 2.5 minutes left for this, you know, got another meeting coming up, but, you know, just fullness that we forget, I think, in our daily lives easily. So I wanted to, I was trying to decide whether I started with a song or I started with, well, why abundance? Why would we want abundance in our lives and our companies? Why do we have a half day retreat focused on abundance? Why is it a part of our empowering story and part of our growth of our companies? And I thought, let's start with a song because I think we get it from there, right? So having seen the song and then asking you that question of, you know, why would abundance be an important component? Why would we not want to miss that? We can Google it. I get it. Let's move on. Whatever. It's not like that. I think we get the idea. We get the head knowledge of it, but what is it to embody it? Okay. So let me ask you that. So why abundance? Either from yourself and your heart or from what we've just seen, why does it matter as we're growing our companies and our lives? What is this workshop doing? What's this half day retreat doing in our year? Yeah, Dawn, thank you.
I want to make another observation about that group because I observe groups often. And when you see a group like that, you usually have people reacting to, and there's a truth or something very deep. There's someone coughing in the audience incessantly or someone reacting and the defenses rising. And there was none of that there. And I think that speaks also to abundance. We have to be, well, we don't have to be anything, but I would want to be aligned with the earth, with Mother Earth, with Father Sky, and the abundance present here. If I want to live a life.
Thank you. Beautiful, Dawn. And coming from your background and your knowingness about groups and people, the psychology of people and group, right? That says a lot. So I wanted to, I wanted to show you this song. I wanted to share this with you. It's like, oh, what do we want to know about abundance? Well, let's start here. Let's start here. And if we Googled it right now, I would say that whatever we're going to find when we Google it, this hits us in a deeper, different way than some, whatever the Oxford Dictionary defines it as. Make sense? Yeah. Thank you. Beautiful. What else? So why, and think of it. It's sometimes so simple, but it's right here that we miss it. Door number one, door number two. Come from this place in your company. Come from a different place, like the kind of audience that you mentioned, or, you know, the pulling away from, or the concert style and like showy lights. I'm not, those are not bad. I'm not dissing showy lights and so on and so forth. But version number one, version number two, I don't know. Door number one, door number two, which way do I want to live my life? Which do I even think is more effective? Even just like raw efficiency and effectiveness. It's not how I'm thinking about this right now, but which one am I going to be struggling and working hard? Which one is it going to come and flow naturally to me or connect with the people I want to connect with? You get it. Yeah, you got it. Thank you. What else? Why abundance? You tell me. Let's hear from one more of you. It's beautiful, Dawn. Thank you. Heidi.
I think of abundance as flow of life energy and all good things. It's all good things, whatever that is for anyone, that there's the supply is beyond any possible demand, that there's no scarcity. And it, I've actually thought since I was a little kid about how abundant everything is, like that the abundance as the natural order. I've always been filled with wonder at how everything is more than enough. Like the leaves on the trees, the grains of sand, the trillions of cells in the body, the hairs on your head, like everything is so much. And I was like, wow. I remember as a kid, wow. There's so much of everything.
Thank you. I love it. It's our natural way of being. There's a beautiful flow of energy. And we've got this abundance half-day virtual retreat right beside the high-ticket virtual retreat, very intentionally. Because isn't it easy to go over there and just, even with all our inner work that we do to ground it, to be in scarcity? Well, I don't know anybody who needs my work. Like our graduate who said, there's a city of a million people that I live in, and I'm a fitness trainer, but I can't think of anybody in the city who would need my work. Like how much we can fall into that. I don't have anybody to call, you know, like, oh, what if we started? What if we like tucked this in at the beginning of our day and at the end of our day of the high ticket virtual retreat? And then we start to bump into things that, you know, in those steps, you know, the high ticket virtual retreat blueprint, we bump into anything in one of these steps and add this in, aren't our answers going to change? Make sense? I don't know anybody like that. I'm not sure what my exact promise is. What if I don't know the transformation? I've got to go, you know, dwell on it for 10 years because I don't think I can serve people. What if I don't know enough? Can you hear that? That's the polar opposite of this. Come from this place, bring this place to those questions. We get very different level answers. Very different level results. Very different level of life, right? Okay, so why abundance? Well, and think of it in connection with the game, right? This is a game of bringing abundance into our lives, into each other's lives, into the lives of the people that we serve and support. And there's an abundance of support. Everybody, and the way that the game is set up for abundance. Everyone needs to be involved in a high ticket sale. So Marnie has a high ticket sale. Diane helped her. Then Diane has had her win for the game, right? And then Diane has a sale and Teresa has helped her and vice versa. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's like, what if this game is played with the collective energy we saw in that group? How would that change the scene, right? What would that feel like to do that for the upliftment of all and with all the focused energy on that, right? So the game, it's a game of abundance and it's a game of put in $10, get out $25 when we win together. If we don't, it goes, you know, to a good cause. That's a win too, right? So there's no way to lose, but also there's focused intentionality. Like, hey, let's play this game together. And we know that in goes 10, out comes 25. So we learn that in our bones. That's the intention. How about if we learn that the universe is abundant, that more comes back to me always and when I play together, right? So these two fit, they're very specifically and intentionally put back to back with each other. So, and abundance practices are possible everywhere. We can find abundance everywhere when we look and when we feel with the eyes of what we just heard and saw in that song, right? And Yvonne just said they looked very zen, right? And what if we could have that in all areas of our lives? Now, here's the thing that I want to add. Often when we think of abundance, I tried, I actually started by, I'd just been listening to this song privately for myself. And then I thought, what if I find a different song for this year? I'm just gonna go to YouTube and see what songs they've got for abundance. And every single song that they had listed, I listened to a compilation song for a while. They all, having been listening to this song all week long, they all sounded like scarcity to me. They all sounded like scarcity because they were all like money, money, money's going to come. I'm not dissing money. It's one of the forms of abundance, right? But we, in our culture, we go like, oh, that's the only thing and we need it. And I know that I'm going to get it, but I don't have it right now. So I got to go chase it. Don't worry. Money's coming my way, but I really don't believe that it is. So I'm going to like scramble my way up there to really think that the money is going to be coming in. Can you feel how different that was than watching this beautiful song? So I looked for an abundance song and I'm like, wait, I've been listening over here. This is what I've been listening to. Let me share that with you. It just, if you Google abundance song, this one's not going to come up. So we kind of mess it up by focusing so narrowly on financial abundance. And it's important too. Money is important. It's an energy form. It's a version of exchange in our culture that signifies abundance, that allows us to exchange with each other. I'm not dissing it. I used to in my life. I don't. It's an important piece of abundance. But when we keep telling the story of why we're here, you know, often that's what we do, but financial, we block that next level success. Well, I would have money, but I don't because there's these things happening and this is the way it's always been. Let me explain to you because I know I'm meant for other things. And one day I'm going to have that money. Let me listen to songs about it that tell me that I don't have it right now, but one day I will if I just strive and struggle enough and set my mindset. I'm going to work really hard at it. I'm like, oh man, do you feel the difference from between what I just said and what we just experienced? That's another reason that we have this abundance half day retreat. It's not what we think out there, usually, even though you can Google it. So, and here's the other piece too. When we can find it in other areas, do you see, like we took it, they're not talking about money. This is one form of abundance, right? But as we listen, and if you actually heard, and if you didn't like the song too, that's fine too, right? You don't have to like the song, right? But I love it. And when we can hear what's going on, the abundance, the deep resonance of abundance over there, and then do you see, like I applied it to a money place. We're playing a kind of money game over with a game, aren't we? It's a money game. It's a service game. It's an offer game. It's a growing our business game. It's many things. But one of its components is it's a money game, isn't it? But when we started over here with this kind of abundance, that all felt easier, didn't it? Sometimes we start with money and we start with scarcity and it's crazy. But when we can find a different form of abundance, it naturally flows over into that place. Make sense? That's why this is not called financial abundance, for instance, or it's not called make more money. It's called abundance. And I also don't lead with it. I don't put my, I saw you, Diane, give me a sec. I don't put up a shingle and say, in this year, if you come and do the work, we're going to spend an afternoon on abundance, because what's going to happen to most people out there is, I already know that. I already do that. I do affirmations every day, or I've got a vision board. I have even a money coach, or I've, you know, already done that. And I'm super scarce about money, but I don't really realize it. And so will you give me something else, please? What is it to actually get it, live it, embody it, know it? Diane, go ahead.
I had heard a few years ago a phrase, and it's always stuck with me, that the ocean is abundance. And do I show up to claim my abundance with a teacup, or do I show up with a rain barrel? Mm-hmm. Like, what am I asking for? How limited is my thinking around it?
Thank you. One of the intentions around our abundance virtual retreat is, can I increase my having level? Can I increase my having level, not a teacup, but a rain barrel or more, right? A rain barrel might itself be, you know, limiting for some, right? And also another way to shift the metaphor, what's my thermostat set at? I'm very aware of this because in our place, the living room is much colder than my daughter's room. So we keep the living room quite cold, quite a bit colder. So her room will be cooler. I'm sure we could fix that, but that's how we like it. We're not fixing it because we like it that way. And we can turn on the fire in the living room to warm it up. But the fire doesn't change what the thermostat is set at. So sometimes we're like, we'll throw in a little bit of abundance. We'll throw in a little bit of heat. We'll throw in a little bit of, you know, knowingness about it. We'll go Google it. And it's like, we've turned on the fire for a moment. as soon as we turn it off, the thermostat is set to a certain number. It's going to go back down again. So can we actually increase our having level? Know that it's our birthright. Know that we're worthy. You are worthy beyond measure. You don't have to measure up to something. It's your birthright to be abundant. Right? Not a teacup, but a rain barrel. Maybe not a rain barrel. What's bigger than a rain barrel? I don't know. To envision and imagine that and let it be so. I love that, Diane. Thank you. So yes, money is part of it. Money and finances, that's a part of it. But sometimes, and we want to go there directly as well, sometimes because otherwise our vibration is where we left it. You know, I'm scarce about money. I feel abundant about the rain. But now as soon as I come back here to money, I'm scarce, right? So we don't want to just neglect it. But what if we could find abundance somewhere else? What if we lived our lives more there? What if we could feel it? Like now you always have this song as that touchstone. If it touched you even remotely like it touches me, you have it as a touchstone to remember what that feels like. And then you go to phone somebody that, you know, then you're playing the high ticket virtual retreat, you're playing the game. You go to phone somebody, you go, oh, but I can't. I came close to not calling Yvonne many years in 2014 because I knew she was busy because I knew there was an event coming up, but it was live and she's probably busy. And can you hear scarcity? Yeah, but I'll just make the call anyway. And here we are 8 years later. So when we have those scarcity moments in the game, it's like, oh, remember what it feels like in that song. Oh yeah, we're all in this together. Oh, everyone supports each other. Oh, that's what it's like to have an abundant life. I'm just going to make a call. Was I that enlightened when I made the call? I'm not so sure that I was. I just made the call, right? But you will have this resource behind you, all right? Okay. Anything else bubbling up wanting to be said? Okay. And just as a reminder, because we've got some people that I can see you, some people now we've got half and half. Half of you I can't see, half of you I can see right now. And so don't worry, there will be breaks as well. Okay. Oh, some of you are coming back now. Yay. All right. So, there will be breaks. Don't worry. We'll always have a break somewhere around. If we haven't had a break by 2:30, my time we'll have a break by then. And we'll find that there's a natural break point that will come to you. And I'm not telling you where we're going in beforehand around abundance. Sometimes I give you an outline, but I don't want to give you an outline so that you're thinking about where we're going. That's actually not abundance. Oh yeah, thanks, Don. Right, you turned off your camera. That's not really abundance. It's like, okay, I'm going to get there. Check ticky boxes. Did we get that yet? Have I got it? Instead, can we be in this time together feeling like that felt? Can you just be here, not anxious to go check on other things, not worried that there's not enough time to do something else, and just being together? So that's why I'm not giving you a structure, but don't worry, there is a structure. We'll get to all the pieces that are helpful to you, right? Heidi, go ahead.
It struck me just now that part of abundance is the abundance of time, and that you can have what you want now because there's so much. You don't have to ration it for later. Have it now also. And you don't have to choose, when do I want to be happy? When do I want to have this? I can have it right now and there's still plenty.
Thank you. I love it. It's about now. That's why I wanted to show you that beautiful song as well and experience it together. Because often we think, well, okay, I'm going to have a bunch of money and it's going to be later. And that's so, you know, beautiful. Or I'm going to have that car, I'm going to be the best spiritual person I can be. We can have like scarcity about any kinds of anything. It doesn't have to be a material thing, right? It's always later. It's always somewhere else. It's always some other time. And what we're actually reinforcing over and over and over again is the scarcity and the not enoughness of this moment. We don't do it on purpose, but we do. It's now. And there's an abundance of time. And it's already full. This is going to connect with, let me see. Part three, there's three essential parts I want to teach you. It has to do with part three. And we've already got there. Yeah. We'll get there in more specific ways. You'll see how it connects later on. So it's now. It's knowing that it's now, the plenitude of this moment. Oh my goodness. Hang on. I just lost you guys for a second. That's so weird. YouTube came up. It's like the plenitude of this moment. Oop, you all disappeared. All right, you're back. Yay. Okay. jot down your biggest aha so far. Yeah, and I'm just seeing it dawn in the chat here. It's not about something outside the self, not something to seek. It's here and now. It's something to tap into within, beyond within. And think of the power. Oh, there was another piece I wanted to give you. It was about copy, you know, website copy, for instance, or an opt-in page copy. And it's about a strategy session, about sitting down and holding space for somebody else. Sometimes we want to, like what Heidi was saying earlier, it's only going to be later that it's going to be abundant, and the fullness is over there, right? And relate to what you've got in the chat here too, Dawn. You know, so I'm going to save it for later. We do this with our copy as well. We do this in books. It's like we want to save the good stuff for later. And over years of helping people with writing, it's like you have something that's important. Say it now. It's a moment of scarcity to think, well, but then I won't know what to say next. So I'm saving that for later. It's now. This changes how we write our words and share our words. It's now. There's going to be more later. Yeah, the I'll be happy when, exactly, you know, now. And so it changes how we write and what the copy that we put up and email campaigns and opt-in pages and our and free gifts that we do, all those nuts and bolts pieces of our company are shift because of this work that we're already doing here in the first part of the abundance retreat, right? And then in a strategy session, when we remember, we're going to remember and forget, but when we remember, really remember what we've learned here in this day. And then we get to uncomfortable places sometimes in a strategy session. Somebody says, I don't know, I'd really like to do the work, but that sounds like a lot of money. And then we can go into scarcity mode and we can go, oh no, it's not this person, it's somebody else. Oh no, blah, 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 right? Can we feel full in that moment? Can we know the abundance of that moment? Can we be like Diane too, that the part that you underlined, the dance inside the storm, right? Oh, this moment is perfect. In the words of my friend Jennifer, that person's giving a buying signal. You see, that's an abundance practice. It's not that, oh no, this person thinks it's too much money. The person's giving up a buying signal. They're saying that because they really, really want to find a way to do it. Knowing the abundance of that moment changes the conversations we have, changes how quickly our company grows, changes how we're able to support people. Making sense? It's highly, highly, highly practical. Okay, beautiful. I'm seeing nods all around the room. All right. I want to give you a couple more pieces. All this is the what and the why of abundance. This is where we've got to so far. That's all it is. But foundational, right? What it is anyway. And I want not as head knowledge, but feeling it in our bones here. And then why it matters so much for companies, for our lives. And then why we don't want to just go down the rabbit hole of only financial abundance, right? But not excluding that. But not only focusing there, because it often gives us some scarcity habits, time and money in our culture, right? And relationships, time, money, relationships, we think scarcity there. Start with the song, start there. And I just want to give you a few things to ponder. I'm not going to dive in further, but just a couple things to ponder. And then one piece we'll dive in a little further. So three things. First thing is just a quote from Deepak Chopra. And I love this. He's talking about one aspect of abundance, which is wealth. He says this: if you want to generate wealth, figure out a way to generate wealth for others. If you want to generate wealth, figure out a way to generate wealth for others. So obvious when we hear it, right? And wealth comes in many forms too. It's like, oh no, I've got to make money for them. No, so much bigger than that. And think of how the song itself says that, generating a wealth of knowingness in that person of who they are. You are strong, you are wise, you are patient, you are kind. And it comes right back to the singer. I am strong, I am wise, I am patient, I am kind. It's right in the structure of the song. Abundance. All right. That's one thing I wanted to leave with you. Another thing, I've been thinking about abundance in my own life, and you can do the same reflection for yourself. Oh, actually, before I get to that, I need to give you another definition. So I've been listening to a very woo-woo guy, Daryl Anka, who channels Bashar. And he says, sometimes he goes like, is this just another aspect of my mind, or am I actually channeling this other being? He says, does it matter? Does this information help you? If it's helpful and it's wise and it's not harmful, then you can use the information in a way that helps you. All right. So wherever you are on that scale, whatever you make of that, I loved his work. So Daryl Anka channels an entity named Bashar. And Bashar says he widens this definition of abundance. I just ran across this a couple of weeks ago. And okay, thanks, Teresa. In any way you could be here, it's always, always good that you're here in any way that you're able to be here. It's beautiful, beautiful that you're here. I see you, without seeing you. Right. So Bashar says, he talks as well about how we get stuck on money as the only form of abundance. He says, he discusses five forms of abundance. He says there are many, many others. And I just love this. I shared this with Wendy on the Diamond Elite Retreat. She's like, tell me what that was again. That's amazing. So I want to share it with you. Money, of course. But broadening, being more abundant about our definition of abundant. He said gifts. It doesn't have to come through money. People give us stuff. That's abundance too, right? Trade. It doesn't have to be money. I give somebody something, they give me something in return. Isn't that another form of abundance? Synchronicity. Just coming back from the Diamond Elite Retreat, and I was just talking to Wendy about it this morning. It's the conclusion of her journey. It's been a long journey with her, and it was like there was synchronicity everywhere we looked, everywhere. Something coming into being that was just serving and supporting us in that moment. And isn't that another form of abundance, right? I think I've got to go and, synchronicity. I thought I had to hire a personal assistant. Instead, it was a walk through the park. It was already right there for me, right? And then, money, gifts, trade, synchronicity, and imagination or inspiration. Sometimes we think, oh, I need all this money. And he gives an example of a friend of his who wanted to travel to photograph all the sacred places all around the world. And she had no money. So we think, well, you have to make that money, not dissing the money part. Like, don't diss the money part. That's beautiful too, right? But you think, well, I've got to make the money in order to do that. But imagination and inspiration, creativity, creative solutions, communication is in there as well, right? What she did was she just went to talk to the airline. She said, well, if you fly me there for free, I will take photos that you can use in all your brochures. Not only do they fly her there, they put her up in the best hotel, they paid her, right? Five forms of abundance. If you've been feeling scarce, or even if you haven't, what if we tapped into, and there's many other forms of abundance, right? And so Bashar's definition of abundance, I want to share with you as well. And I usually much prefer the word want. What do I want rather than what do I need? But this definition includes need. And I actually like this. It's rare. You know, I need this. It sounds like scarcity to me. But he said his definition of abundance is very simple. The ability to do what you need to do when you need to do it. That's it. Just that. And he goes, I think, with need rather than want, because, well, I might want to do this, but I need to do this for the growth of my being, for like, I didn't even know that, but this is even better. I think it's in that spirit, right? And so I've been thinking about the abundance of my own life, and you can reflect on yours and do the same. But in 12 years of teaching this material, I've never reflected this deeply on it. And here's what I thought. I get to do what I'm passionate about with the most amazing people ever. Just account for abundance, you know? That's what we're building for you with the High Ticket Virtual Retreat and with this abundance retreat, right? I've had the privilege of three different careers. Who gets to do that? I taught university. I taught yoga. Now, actually, I taught writers as well. And now I teach entrepreneurs. How fun is that? Each one always following my passion, following my dream, following what I really want to do. I've been spending 4 to 6 weeks in Mexico for many, many years, most of the years since 1998. I mean, I just did it. And many of those years spent, much of that time spent with my parents. I am in a place to so appreciate that now. I mean, who gets to do that? And then the ability to do what you need to do when you need to do it. That is the joy of being an entrepreneur. I never thought to take half a year off last year, but essentially I did. First to take care of my father, then to take care of my mother as she was not well at home, then to take care of her through hospital and hospice, then to take care of my family and my daughter in the shakeout after that. I basically took a half a year off. I tended to, some of you are here, I tended to the community. That's the one piece that I did. Who gets to do that? The ability to do what you need to do when you need to do it. And so I've been reflecting, what is it that causes this extraordinary and beautiful abundance in my life? And this is what I'm here to share with you today. And next level. I'd never seen this song before. I hadn't heard about Bashar before, and I'm knowing it at a deeper level than ever. So Deepak Chopra, if you want to generate wealth, figure out a way to generate wealth for others. Bashar, five forms of abundance: money, gifts, traits, synchronicity, imagination, inspiration, and so much more. And the definition, his definition of abundance, the ability to do what you need to do when you need to do it. Doesn't that unplug a lot of the scarcity around abundance that circulates, I think, among entrepreneurs and in society these days? Well, I'll be abundant when is often how the sentence seems to go. And in all those abundant songs, and I listen to a few of them, I'm like, no, I can't listen. I can hear the scarcity in them. Let's listen to this one instead and know it in our bones. All right, let me see. What I want to do is I want you guys to just have a minute to talk to each other about, you can dive in with any one of the pieces we've done before. I just want you to get a chance to express for, let me see, we'll go in groups of 2 to 3. I'm like, we'll see if there's an even number. And 2 minutes each, if you're in a group of 3, you'll go a little shorter time. And I'm going to let you choose. It could be why abundance matters. And don't think too hard. Just whatever, just get some time to speak about abundance. What abundance, what I now know abundance is and why it matters. You might dive in with that. You might say, generating wealth, figuring out how I generate wealth for others. I just want to talk about the ways that I do that with my transformation. You might go into the Bashar's definition of abundance. Choose one. I just want to focus on synchronicity this week and see how abundance appears in my life and how it's happening right in this call, because it's now. You might want to go into the song further. There's one more thing that I want to say, or I just wanted to underline this piece. Look how much we've already done about abundance, right? It might be you heard my story about some pieces in abundance. You might go, Michelle said that. I want to share this with you about the abundance in my life. And it might be something of Bashar's definition of abundance, the ability to do what you need to do when you need to do it, recognizing the abundance that has been or is in your life already. It could be that or anything else. All I'm saying is take a minute to share with each other something about what's landing in you in and around abundance. We'll take 4 minutes. Let me divide up into rooms here. Let's see. Okay. And let me see here. I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to recreate the rooms. I'm going to do 2 breakout rooms. All right. Because just Teresa, I'm not sure if you're able to interact or not. And I don't want you can. Okay. Well, we're going to have groups of 3 anyway. All right. So 2 groups of 3. So I'll give you, let me see, maybe 1.5, 3. A minute and a half each. Okay. So 4.5 minutes. The one with the shortest hair keeps time. The one with the darkest glasses goes first, just for fun. If nobody's wearing glasses, you'll figure it out. Share for a minute and a half something. What's landing in you now? What's opening for you now in and around abundance? Can be on any of those themes or whatever comes up with you. Trust the moment. Make sense? All good? All right, I will see you. I'll give you 5 minutes so you get time to get over there, a minute and a half each. Have fun. See you soon. Hey. Welcome back. Welcome back. So I would love to hear from 1 or 2 of you. What's opening for you now? Something that either you shared in the room or something that has come up for you as a result of the exchange in your breakout room. What are you discovering about abundance? Yeah, Yvonne, thank you.
I shared with the ladies that the quote, the Deepak Chopra quote, really stood out for me. If you want to generate wealth, figure out a way to generate wealth for others. Well, that's what I do. So I was actually considering putting the quote on my website. I was like, well, isn't that, you know, speaking of synchronicities.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And that's how abundance is coming your way now.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
And it's right in the song. I love it. But first, like all that abundance of inner qualities given to the other that comes rebounding back to the singer. Thank you. Love it. Let's hear from one or two more of you. What was arising for you? What's bubbling up in and around abundance for you from all that we've done so far? Yeah, Heidi, go ahead.
Well, connected to the ability to receive, to stretch my ability to receive. And I said from the giraffe level, abundance is that which I decide to receive as being of value.
Hmm.
It doesn't matter what form it takes. It's that which I receive, whatever it is. And am I enough? Am I a big enough vessel to receive all of it with no limit?
I love it. Thank you. When I stop thinking it's supposed to come in one form, particular form, and I start noticing how it's pouring in all around me, but often what we're doing is we're blocking it. I stop blocking it. Then I can start to see the abundance that's already there in my life. And actually, it's still sitting on my desk. I want to share this with you. So I went to a yoga retreat for a week, and then it was a Diamond Elite retreat with Wendy for a week. A beautiful, beautiful experience, both of them. And the junction day between the two, we were staying at a place that I stayed at many, many times with my parents before. It was my first place that I stayed at in Puerto Vallarta. So very emotionally important and beautiful for me, a beautiful, beautiful place, right? A place of profound joy, profound healing, profound love, and so much more. So I was there having finished the yoga retreat, waiting for Wendy to arrive the next day in this beautiful space that I hadn't been there in many years. And it's the favorite place I've been at with my parents anywhere. And I was just walking down the street from the resort, beautiful, beautiful place. And all of a sudden I looked up and the skies are black. I'm like, what is that? There's this sea of birds. I've been going to Puerto Vallarta since 1998. I've never seen so many birds filling the sky before. And for me, I want to show you, this is what my oldest friend gave me right after my father died. And she gave this advisedly because birds became associated with my father and then also my mother, so much so that their oldest neighbor is now wearing a bird on her lapel, she said, for the rest of her life in honor of my mom. So my dad, my mom, and the birds looked exactly like this bird, covered the sky. There's synchronicity. I happened to be in the right time at the right place to see all these birds. In over 20 years, I've never seen so many birds filling the sky. It happened over and over again in the week. We went for a breakfast at one place, and the birds were so loud. It was like almost like not quite hard to hear what we were saying, but it was like louder than a bird sanctuary. I've been to bird sanctuaries before. Can I notice the beautiful abundance around me in whatever form it takes? There's some from me recently. And then when I noticed that, it's like, oh, you know, this person says no to me. I didn't quite get my words out right. You know, my talk got bumped by a day. Like, whatever. Because I can see the abundance of the world around me, right? In all its forms. Thank you, Heidi. Beautiful. What else? Let's hear from one more of you. What's bubbling up for you now in and around abundance?
In our group, we talked a little bit about sometimes abundance might look like scarcity to other people, but it's about how you interpret it and feel it. So we were talking about how when we were younger and, you know, didn't have financial success necessarily, like when we were grad students, as Teresa said, you know, living on the noodles kind of thing. And yet experienced that entirely as abundance because we were in the right place at the right time doing what we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. And it connects with this other forms of abundance that Bashar, I love that he lays it out. That's, I find that so helpful. And then we can start to recognize the many different forms of abundance and how they actually, you know, in our culture, we tend to seek money. And I'm, again, not dissing it. I threw it away for a long, long time, but there's many forms of abundance. And if I need to gather up the money so I can go and fly to take photos of these beautiful places, or I can have the airline fly me there for free and put me up. So like, why would one be better than the other? And in fact, if I were going to choose, I think I'd rather have the airline fly me and put me up. That sounds like fun, you know? And yes, the abundance, like, can we recognize it? Can we recognize it? And so when I was in my 20s and a student, I took a trip with a couple of friends cycling through the Rockies from Jasper to Banff. And I was a young student and had nothing. Like, I mean, I had nothing. And so that's not true. Not nothing compared to like what some of the people in the world have, but nothing. Like, I didn't have a tent, you know, I generally didn't have the money for a place to stay for the place we need to stay in the mountains. You know, the Rockies is expensive for a student, young student, right? And so, but I a different kind of abundance that I had then. So I didn't have a tent, but I think I paid like $10 or something for a tent fly. You know, like the part that goes over the tent. And one of our friends, Leonard, he was really, really a huge outdoor fan. There were four of us who went on this trip. And so my friend Eileen and I stayed in one tent, and he stayed with, you know, our other friend Cliff. So the two guys and the two of us stayed in our tent, and we didn't have a tent, but every night Leonard made us a tent because we didn't know how to do that. So he took a tent fly and turned it into a tent. And sometimes it was pouring rain and sometimes it was beautiful. And we had the most beautiful, innovative, you know, a different tent every night. We were so abundant. And another friend had booked, was staying in hotels or hostels on the route, but you know, at one time there wasn't any place to stay. And so then he was upset because he had to cycle back to the other place or whatever. We had a $10 tent fly. It was wonderful. And sometimes as entrepreneurs, we lose sight of that. And abundance is an energy. It has an energy. And when we remember it, that's who we're being. And it's much more likely that it's going to come in its other forms to us. What we focus on expands. Now we don't do it. Okay, I'm feeling really abundant about this tent fly, so please send me the stuff that I'm really after, universe, because I feel scarce after all. No, I don't mean that. It's a way of being, like in that song. And when we remember that, then as entrepreneurs, we can be creative as well. And one of my mentors, Harv Eker, I was studying with him in 2008. I'd left university in 2007. And in 2008, when the economy crashed, he said, what a fabulous time for entrepreneurs. Like, I was saying that then, right? You know? So what a fabulous time, because my economy is not the world economy. Oh, that's an abundance mindset. My economy is not the world economy. And what this will have me do is to look in my company as well and see, like, where am I throwing away money and resources? How can I be more resourceful with what I have? That's what we did with the tent fly, right? This is a great, important entrepreneurial skill. How can I be more resourceful with the skills I have? He says, if economies always come up and down, you'll do that. So your expenses in your company, this is a kind of nuts and boltsy version of it, right? Your expenses will go down in your company. And then, as always happens, then as the economy expands again, you will keep that, and the abundance that you will have now and that you will gain later on is so beautiful. What a great time for entrepreneurs. How about thinking about the world like that, whether it's our own, what's going on personally for us or in the world. Talk about really having an abundance life. Even the phrase abundance mindset seems too small for me. I get what those words are saying, but an abundance mindset sounds like I will set my mind in a particular way to wish for those things that I don't have. Like, sometimes really that's how it sounds to me out there in the world. No, it's that song. It's how that feels to live that way. And then just be curious about what's opening next, because what a great place to live. Making sense? Yeah, I love that, Marnie. It makes me so much think, and whatever that was for you, you know, the 10 fly, maybe you feel like that now. Great. Go find your own 10 fly, whatever that is for you, right? It was extraordinary. And I since then bought, you know, a couple tents, and I had a small tent and then I had a big tent, and I've stayed in luxurious resorts and I've stayed at places that are a dollar a night, but I will never forget that tent fly experience. It was amazing. It was beautiful. It was so abundant. It was so fun. And to watch my other friend in such scarcity when they were he was staying in, you know, he had much more, it seemed, than a tent fly. Thank you. Beautiful. Anything else bubbling up wanting to be shared? Yeah. Heidi, thank you.
It strikes me that, well, for me, trust is at the heart of the abundance. That, of course, there's enough. Like, of course there is. And of course this tent works. And of course my friend knows what to do with the tent. And of course I'll be okay, even if the tent leaks, or, you know, like, just the of course of it, like the, yeah. And the trusting, the loving trust in the situation, and my needs will be met and all will be well, and I'm not in this alone, and it's the natural order, and of course it's abundant.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I love the of course-ness of it. Yes, I love that. And that word trust, that's going to come up probably toward the end of our day today, because it's right here on my page. In fact, it's right on the page that I was at, the outline. Here, page 3 of my notes, it's actually an acronym, trust, because that word is so important. We'll talk about, you know, what that stands for later in the call. But I love that it just arose naturally. It's like, oh yeah, that's the feeling of it. And again, also, wherever you are, as you're listening to these words, to know that it's okay. I want to say that the okayness of it. Maybe these words are landing in you like, well, that's all fine for her, but I don't have a tent flyer, you know, whatever it is, right? Or that's all fine, but I don't feel, of course, right now, that's all okay. There's an ebb and a flow of things. And if you're feeling differently from that, that doesn't mean that something has gone wrong. It doesn't mean that something is bad, but come back and listen to these words again later. Lean in with somebody else in the community who maybe is picking up these words more easily right now, because there's an ebb and a flow of things. If things are feeling hard right now, for whatever reason, it's hard to hear these words. That's also an abundance practice, just trusting, thinking of the word trust, that there will be a time that this will land, that this will be meaningful for me, that I will get this, that this will help me. And there's another trust practice if this is like counter to how you're feeling right now. If there's even one thing you pick up, oh, there's more than one form of abundance. Cool, I've been feeling scarcity in one place, I could look for it in another place. If you could just pick up one piece from this call, that could be life and company changing. And Don says, gratitude feels like the energy of abundance for me. You guys, like, I love it. You know, you're going to hear these words come back in the second half of our call. And I love that we're getting there energetically in such an aligned way through a song. Because everything that we're going to be talking about in the second half is completely going to make sense. It's like what you're already feeling will just put words to what you're already saying and expand it out a little bit. Make sense? All right. Anything else wanting to be said? This is the what it is, which is very different than Googling it, actually living it in a cellular way, why it matters. Some tips about it, like the Deepak Chopra quotation, or the idea of the giraffe that's come in here into our conversation, or the ability to receive so many notions, any one of which could be company changing. I changed my having level, actually, company changing. Any one of these pieces could change the course of your company in your life. And not, again, not head knowledge, actually hearing it, feeling it, knowing it. And knowing that you've got a community to lean in with if you're, you know, if it's not landing for you yet, it's okay. All right, anything else bubbling up? Good for now? Okay. All right. So here's what I want to do. I want to often we take a break in our afternoon retreats in and around 2:30 my time, but this is a natural place for a break. The pieces that we're going to go into after this will start to give us some, what's the word, tools or ingredients in our kitchen for creating and expanding this feeling, this energy of what we know it is and why it matters. It's just going to start to break it down a little bit in ways that will serve and support us, because you're going to hear so easily, because it's like we're already there. We're just going to name it. All right. name it, bask in it, and understand it a little bit more deeply and know it, not understand like head knowledge. So this is a natural place for a break. So let's take 10 minutes. Let's take a 10 minute break. So at my place, it is, I'm going to call it 208 by the time I finish talking, I'm sure. So 208 to 218. And here's what I suggest for your break. Pick up any one thread of our discussion here. What would make this, what would allow you to dwell in abundance over your break? And you know, it's not going to be the scarcity of checking email of, oh, I have to tend to this person because otherwise their life will fall apart if, well, you know, what, maybe you want to contemplate one piece of what we said. Maybe you want to lie in Shavasana. Maybe you want to go for a little walk. Maybe you're going to get a snack. Maybe you're going to go, how do I create wealth for other people? How cool. I never phrased it quite like that, but I really actually do. Let me notice how I do. Whatever that is for you. Maybe it's just meditating because you want the fullness of just silence, just spaciousness for yourself, right? So let's take a 10-minute break. We'll come back at 2:18 and start to take this deeper, start to take this further. Fantastic work. This is my favorite opening to the abundance work ever, ever, ever in more than a dozen years. I love you guys. Thank you so much. We'll see you in a little bit.